The life of Jesus of Nazareth has accurately been described as the greatest story ever told. And that's especially true of the events of the first Easter, which we've been hearing about in our readings. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record Jesus being seized, put on trial before a kangaroo court, being humiliated and tortured, and being assassinated by asphyxiation on a Roman cross. And then, in an ending more extraordinary than any Hollywood blockbuster, the Gospels record that Jesus rose bodily from the dead and 40 days later ascended into heaven, where he is seated with God the Father even today. It's truly a remarkable story which we celebrate at Easter. I want us to take a few minutes now to reflect on the significance of those events in history. And to do that, we're going to look at those brief words of Jesus himself, which are printed there on your order of service. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." At the heart of those verses is the statement that Jesus Christ, who calls himself the Son of Man, must be lifted up. We lift people up, don't we, to celebrate them. In a great sporting triumph, the victor is hoisted on his supporters' shoulders to display his triumph to everyone. Well, Jesus lifting up was one lifting up of three parts. And the first part was utterly unexpected. Jesus first was lifted up on a cross. You don't need me to tell you that being nailed to a Roman cross was not a place of honour. It was a place of humiliation, of torture, of punishment, reserved for the lowest of the low. And yet Jesus said he must be lifted up. The clue to why he had to be lifted up on the cross lies in his reference to Moses lifting up the snake in the wilderness. Way back near the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, there's a strange story about God sending poisonous snakes among his people to punish their sin. And then when they cry out to God for help and forgiveness, God tells them to make a bronze snake and to put it on a pole so that anyone who's bitten by a snake can look at the bronze snake and they will live. It's a strange story, but it helps us grasp what was going on when Jesus was lifted up on the cross. The snake on the pole was a sign, a display that the means of judgment had itself been condemned. The very snakes which God used to punish wrongdoing were symbolically defeated in the snake on the pole. And so by looking to that bronze snake, the Israelites were showing that they trusted God's appointed cure for their predicament. Well, the snake on the pole was just a symbol of God's rescue. But when Jesus was lifted up on the cross at the first Easter, he really was displaying the end of God's punishment on sin for everyone who looked on him and believed. Right at the start of the Bible's story, God said that the punishment for not following him, for trying to be our own gods, was death. And yet, since that very first sin by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we have all done the things that God says we must not do. We've tried to run our lives as if we were our own gods. And so we deserve the punishment of death and eternal separation from God. On the cross, Jesus bore the guilt for the sin of the world. God's punishment of death for all the ways that his people turn against him and reject his loving rule was itself ended by Jesus' death in our place on the cross. So do you see that Jesus being lifted up on the cross was at one and the same time an abject humiliation, one man bearing God's judgment in his body of death, and at the very same time it was a display of triumph, sin and death defeated by judgment being poured out once for all on the one perfect man, Jesus Christ. The Son of Man must be lifted up, Jesus said. The second and third parts of Jesus lifting up were more obvious triumphs. On the first Easter day, he was lifted up from the grave. The gospel writers tell us that incredibly, Jesus' promises during his lifetime to rise from the dead on the third day were fulfilled. He was seen by many witnesses, most famously by doubting Thomas, who touched his wounds and proved his bodily resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead demonstrates that the cross worked. The punishment of death on sin has been paid, and so new life is now breaking in. And the third part of his lifting up is that he was lifted up to heaven. 40 days after the first Easter, Jesus ascended to the highest place of all when he went up from this earth to sit in the place of honor with his Father in heaven. His power is no longer localized wherever he is in bodily form on this earth. No, instead he is in the control room over all the earth, over all nations, and over all spiritual powers. He is reigning and ruling even today, and we look forward to the day when he will come again from there to impose his loving rule unmistakably and entirely in justice and in rescue. So Jesus was lifted up on the cross in willing humiliation and punishment for the sake of his people. He was lifted up from the grave, demonstrating his triumph over death in the victory of the cross. And he was lifted up to heaven, the place of power over all things, from where he will come again to finally establish his visible rule. The second half of Jesus' words there on the sheet spell out what the implications of his lifting up are for us. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Notice three implications of Jesus lifting up. Because he was lifted up on the cross, we must believe. Just as looking to the snake in the wilderness was the appropriate response to the solution God had provided, so we look, figuratively speaking, to Jesus Christ crucified. Belief, or faith, doesn't mean having a religious commitment without any rational evidence. In fact, it means the opposite. It means being convinced by the evidence that Jesus Christ died for sins. And when we believe, we are uniting our destiny with that of Jesus Christ. We make his work our own when we say, yes, that's my Saviour. That's my salvation. I trust Jesus to save me from death and hell. I stake my life on his. We must believe. Because Jesus was lifted up from the grave, we may have eternal life. Jesus' resurrection demonstrates that the cross works, that death has been defeated, and therefore we can enjoy eternal life with God. Do you know the early Christians' confidence in eternal life was so strong that they referred to physical death just as falling asleep. The other side of death lies new life that never ends. But even better than the fact that life never ends, eternal life in the Bible describes a life that is infinitely more appealing than this life. All the frustrations, disappointments, and pains of this life are done away with in the life to come. all our right hopes and longings for health, for relationships, for meaning are satisfied in the life to come. Jesus is described elsewhere in the Bible as the firstborn of the new creation. Before a new invention goes into mass production, a prototype is usually made to provide proof of concept. Well, Jesus' resurrection in part acts as proof of concept for our resurrection age. It's a demonstration for our sakes that we can stake our lives on Jesus Christ. John writes towards the end of his gospel account, "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Sometimes people say that the Jesus events happened too long ago, that they're just myth, that we can't be expected to stake everything on them. On the contrary, we have remarkably accurate historical accounts from people who themselves suffered and died for claiming they were true, so that we ourselves can believe. I became a Christian myself at the age of 19 after I read the arguments for and against the resurrection of Jesus Christ in history, and I found I simply could not explain it away. Therefore, I had to accept that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of Man, who died for my sins. Because Jesus was lifted up to heaven, it's for everyone who believes. I wonder whether we can grasp just how radical that claim is, that it's for everyone who believes. In Jesus' time, it would have been assumed that it was the really religious people that stood to gain from God's promises. Maybe you assume the same today. Many people assume that Christianity is for people from particular parts of the world, or from particular social classes, or with particular manners or culture. But no, Jesus said he must be lifted up so that everyone who believes may have eternal life. Because Jesus has been lifted up to heaven, his sphere of influence is no longer localized. It's global. He is king of the whole world. There is no one who's too bad to be accepted by him through the cross. On the other hand, there's no one too good so that they don't need him. So let me bring Jesus' words to each one of us here today, personally, as an invitation. Have you believed for eternal life? You might be an upstanding citizen. The fact that you're in church for Easter suggests that you might have some sort of religious commitment. But can you say that at the first Easter, Jesus was lifted up for you? The snake on the pole in the wilderness was useless for anyone who chose to look elsewhere. Medicine was powerless to heal them. They couldn't heal themselves by force of the will. They needed to look to the solution that God himself had provided. Well, the same is true for us today. God has paid the great cost of giving his only Son on the cross for our sakes. Have you looked to Jesus Christ in faith for eternal life? It might be you're not sure whether you have. It might be that you've still got questions. Maybe you need convincing that the historical record of the Gospels is reliable. Or there's something else that's holding you back from placing your trust in Jesus Christ. If that's the case, please speak to me or speak to a Christian friend. But for those of us who have believed, let's rejoice that Jesus was lifted up bodily in history. He was lifted up on the cross. He was lifted up from the grave. He was lifted up into heaven. And we look forward to the day when he will come again to lead us into that physical and everlasting true life. Let's bow our heads and pray. The Son of Man must be lifted up. We thank you and praise you, our Father God, that you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be lifted up on a cross for our sakes. We thank you, our Father, that he was lifted up from the grave, showing us the eternal life that we can have in him. We thank you and praise you, our Father, that he was lifted up into heaven, from where he rules even now, and from where he will return visibly in power to gather his people to him. Father, show us these things and give us faith, we pray. Amen.